On December 18th of 2012, 4 days after the horrific slayings of 20 children and 6 adults, Professor Mickey Fenzel, professor of psychology at Loyola University here in Baltimore, wrote a column that appeared in the Baltimore Sun entitled "The Malady of America's Soul." Professor Fenzel said, in part, in his 1969 book, Love and Will, existential psychologist Rollo May contended that human tragedies that catch our attention can exemplify an underlying malady of society in which they occur. Using an example which many of you may remember, wherein dozens of onlookers failed to take any action as they observed the brutal stabbing of a woman on the streets of New York, May wrote of our collective inability to love and to exercise our will in healthy ways. Instead, we choose detached sex and power grabs without consideration of the welfare of others. We live in a society in which college fraternities hold competitions to honor sexual exploits, and personal power is sought through the discharging of semi-automatic weapons on innocent children and adults. Atrocities of violence in advantaged peaceful suburban communities and in streets of cities like Baltimore signal a social condition that must be addressed. Fenzel continues, what is this condition? Hints of it, he says, are evidenced in these mass killings of innocents, of a Congress that labors unabashedly to protect the riches of the wealthy at the expense of the economically disadvantaged and middle class, of coaches and bishops who fail to protect children from sexual abuse, of gun control opponents who blame the supporters of gun control for the mass killings. If only the principal had been armed, well equipped with an automatic weapon of her own, with which to confront and take out the shooter. Some news show guests are contending, killings would have been avoided. We should be appalled, he says, at such idiocy. Serious-minded and clear-thinking citizens will ask, as we must, what do these violent crimes say about America's heart and soul? We must look hard to find an answer to this question in order to redeem our society and its citizens. What if in this search, he says, we find a cold heart and a darkened soul? What do we answer to his question? What do these say? These violent events about our heart, our soul. In just a few minutes, a member of the board will remind us of the purpose of this congregation, and we might well respond. This is what we say. This is how we want our heart and soul to express itself in the world in which we live, in the world in which we bring our children up, in the world in which we seek justice. First Unitarian Church of Baltimore is the spiritual home of a diverse and mutually supportive community of people who strive to build on our deep historical roots as a congregation, to be a beacon of hope, social justice, and liberal religious values in Baltimore and the world. There is a real poetry in that statement, is there not? I love it every week when those words are read. I love it when the board member invites us to put our voice with our ears. But if we are to really nurture our heart and soul, as Professor Fenzel challenges us to do, we must have more than poetry. We must have strategies for engaging the homeless and most needy among us. Your Board of Trustees has authorized a task force to strategize about ways of bringing to bear a bequest left with our church, over $125,000 for education and $125,000 to help the homeless and the needy. And by the measure of finances that we have to deal with, in some ways $125,000 is not a great deal of money, but it certainly is a significant challenge to us as a congregation to use these funds wisely. So we seek to come up with strategies. The Social Action Clearinghouse meets monthly to encourage the development of social action service and social action justice. They seek to encourage the development of strategies. But something more is needed. A healing of our own heart and soul. That's what we have the opportunity to do as we meet together at the end of the month to talk about meditation and social action. Now let's be honest. Those of us who have been active in the church over the years, particularly perhaps active in Unitarian Universalist circles, feel ourselves much better at developing strategies than we do at examining, at opening our own heart and our own soul. We perhaps come from religious traditions that focused almost exclusively on the transformation of the soul, on the saving of souls from some future punishment. But we must also acknowledge that we have a hunger inside us, inside ourselves as individuals. And some mornings I feel more cut off than I do connected to meaningful purpose. Some weeks I feel like I've been caught up in debates within my own church that don't seem to have a lot to do with my heart and my soul. We have the opportunity, indeed the obligation, to go deep into our own soul. Back in the fall of 2011, we held a visioning conference, and we declared ourselves ready to focus on the needs of others, to focus on helping the homeless and the poor. What we are learning as we take seriously this challenge is that it's one thing to distribute $125,000, it's another thing to invest ourselves in relationships with the homeless and the poor. It's one thing to engage in what we think is charity, think of as charity, those of us with lots of resources doing good for those of us who don't have resources. It's another thing to discover that they're in a relationship that is really mutual, that really grows out of a sense of respect for one another. That there is no such thing as those who have all the resources and those who have none of the resources. A Hebrew friend of mine taught me this week that the Hebrew word for charity comes out of the same root as the Hebrew word for justice. We are slowly learning as a religious community that we can't just talk about justice for all. We have to find ways of developing our own skills and resources to bring about justice for all. The same may be said as we try to develop strategies to build a more mindful nation. When I saw the title to Ryan's book, I thought to myself, boy, this is something as a Unitarian Universalist I long for. How can we build community? How can we build communication across the lines that divide us so harshly? The answer that Ryan suggests is this process of becoming more mindful, of daring to look at our own brain as well as our heart. And the process that he proposes that we explore and investigate is amazing, because I have a tendency to separate what's going on in my brain from what's going on in my heart. I have a tendency to let my brain run wild and to get triggered very easily, until, like young Mason who's trying to learn to read, the noise that is coming from my head, trying to manage all of the changes that go on in my life, becomes so large, so loud, that I lose touch with the resources, with the strengths with which I was created. It's harder for me to be kind to myself than it is for me to be kind to other people. And if I take seriously my church's pledge to be a beacon of hope in the world, I really need to find ways to be kind to my heart, to be kind to my soul. I look forward to this opportunity at the end of January to sit down with some of you and really explore what is going on with my own heart and my own soul. It was with somewhat mixed feelings that I decided to conclude the work that I was doing at the city jail. I even thought about using the word retirement and realized that that wasn't quite what I really wanted to do. I'm not patient enough to go fishing, and I practically flunked the art courses that I had to take when I was in school. So I don't do much knitting or painting. But the opportunity to explore what is going on in my own soul becomes the foundation out of which I may be able to work with you all as some kind of a beacon, as some kind of a place. And I realized that in a sense I needed to step down from what I had been doing. That the work that I was doing in the jail was valued by the women and valued by many of the staff that were there. They didn't want to see me go, and it was tempting to say, well, I'm indispensable. I needed to come to some place where I was exploring just what are the resources that I have to offer in this place called Baltimore. We have the chance to cultivate kindness. We have the chance to look at the meaning and direction of our own lives. One of the exciting things to realize as a Unitarian is that for many of us, we won't be introducing things that are totally new. We kid sometimes, that tease about Unitarian Universalists being all in their heads. They don't know how to talk about what's going on in their heart because they're always living in their heads. And what I'm discovering as I get to know you is that many of you already have practices that are important to you. And I've just never had a chance to really hear what those practices are or share what my own practices are. We used to have a joke as Methodists. So I hope I can tell this because I'm telling on myself. Methodists for a long time claimed that they never touched alcohol. We never drink, we would say. The truth was that we all drank separately. We just never drank together. That might be said about prayer in the Unitarian Universalist tradition. The truth is, many of us have practices that are very important to our becoming mindful human beings. And we will have a chance to explore what we as individuals are already doing to grow, to learn and grow from each other. Now, it's not every teacher of an adult course in this church that gets a whole 20 or 30 minutes to push their agenda. I trust that you sense with me the importance of this possibility as we look together for new ministries in the life of the community. I look forward to sharing with many of you in this class at the end of January. You can find out more about it down in the parish hall, where Becky Brooks has a table for adult RE. And I'll find my way down there if you want to talk to me more about the class. It's a great time to be a Unitarian Universalist. We are in a period where we are able to treat with respect and with kindness our own soul. I close with words that Representative Ryan uses to open one of the chapters of his book. He quotes a famous declaration of Henry David Thoreau, from whose philosophy we draw inspiration and insight. "I went to the woods," Thoreau wrote, "because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach. And not, when I came to die, discover I had not lived. Come with me to the woods, that we may live together. So may it be.